Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is common sense and the spiritual path. And to me, it's common sense to be on a spiritual path. But more importantly, we should mention Alice Bailey, who's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of books, and all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show emanates from the literature of Alice Bailey, as does most of our thoughts, most of our philosophy, and most of what we say. However, this one is by Voltaire, a very famous philosopher, and he said that common sense is not so common. And I guess I can agree with that, even as far as my own behavior sometimes. We all think we know what common sense is, but does esoteric philosophy, does it define in a specific way what common sense is?
Yes, it gives a very interesting insight into common sense. So does the dictionary, too. I love the dictionary because when you go to it and look up a word, sometimes you get a whole different slant on it. And although it's not the word common sense, a synonym, sensible. I looked up sensible, as in our mother saying to us, if you would just be sensible. Mm-hmm. Sensible means capable of being perceived by the senses, or by reason or understanding, and that is the common sense, that which is perceived by the five senses, hearing, touch, sight, taste, and smell, plus the mind, which integrates the information that comes to us through those five senses and creates the common sense, common in the sense of joining all these forces or all these senses together. And the use of the mind is what gives us our common sense. In other words, when we remember to think and not just react or emote, we're drawing on our common sense. The mind is that God-given body that we are endowed with that uses our senses and hopefully creates our thoughts and our decisions and our responses based on the information we've received and not just impulse.
Yeah, well, the dictionary that I looked in did have a definition of common sense, and it said it was sound, prudent judgment. Uh-huh. So there you have it, very similar to yours. And mm-hmm. I like to think of common sense in the terms of a commons. I liken it to the village mm-hmm. commons, mm-hmm. which used to be the central design of many of the villages and years ago, centuries ago.
And it still is in Britain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's the common ground, the common piece of land that's mm-hmm. in the center of town where all the commoners come to congregate and discuss things and have their fairs and so forth. And it's out of that kind of values that the village people have developed that we get the term common sense, I think. So like you said, it comes through the information that comes through all of our senses and that we have developed over the years, that and that is now determined to be the accepted and prudent way of behaving in life.
There's another interesting spiritual connotation to the common sense, and it has to do with the right and left brain. At least I think it's related to that. That became a very popular way of categorizing people a few years ago. You were either left-brained or right-brained, meaning you were either a linear, factual, empirical thinker, or you were more of the creative, dreamy, visionary sort. That, I think, is a very inadequate way of viewing people, because we should use both sides of our brain. We need them both. We need to think practically and empirically, and we also need to be visionary. And I think this viewpoint is reconciled in the spiritual teaching about the right and the left eye. It's called the doctrine of the eye. And the right eye, according to spiritual teaching, is the eye of vision, of wisdom, and of, in a sense, foresight, the intuition, whereas the left eye is the eye of the mind, of sight, and of common sense. And you can see that both are needed to make one's way through life, and they are joined or superseded, rather, by what is called the third eye. Probably people have noticed drawings that show the third eye in the middle of the forehead in some of the ancient Egyptian, and even on our dollar bill, if you turn it over, above the pyramid, I think you'll see this eye looking at you. That's the third eye, called in Hinduism the eye of Shiva. It's the all-seeing eye, the eye that directs the will. That reconciles or synthesizes the functions of the left eye and the right eye. And all of that is related to the common sense, using the mind in all of its aspects, all of its faculties.
Right. The mind is the great synthesizing faculty that we have, and it synthesizes and brings together all of the information that comes through the five senses, and the mind is, of course, the sixth sense. And all of the senses, it's interesting, and this goes into the writings in the Bailey books, that all of our senses, the five senses, have higher corresponding extensions to them. Our sense of sight eventually gives us the ability for clairvoyance, the ability to see in more subtle
into the future, in a sense.
Into the future, but also on more subtle, vibratory rates. Mm-hmm. The eye is sensitive to the etheric levels, and this is not a psychic thing so much as it is just a faculty of the eye. Is much keener and more attuned to the finer grade of matter and the material substance called the etheric, or the energy body, let's say. It can see the aura, or it can see the chakras, the condition of the chakras that we've talked about before. And the same extensions are on all the other senses. This hearing becomes extension through clairaudience, hearing on the inner planes, and then sense of touch also becomes gives us the sense of psychometry. So, I mean, all of these extensions lie ahead of us, and they're part of the potential that just is within the human being. And that all of this comes through the five senses.
But what exactly is the common sense in relation to spiritual living?
Indispensable.
I would think so, yeah.
Yes,
but a bit more.
Without common sense, you can get yourself into quite a pickle in the spiritual life, because you are dealing with powerful energies. You are trying to accelerate your development in a way that just leaving things to evolution would take care of in a much gentler, slower way. So in undertaking the spiritual path, you need more than ever the common sense. It's the remembrance that each human being is a soul, and that soul is our God-given power of self-determination and of free will, and the common sense is the reliance upon our own soul, our own judgment, our own best sense, rather than turning one's fate and one's will over to anyone or anything else. That's why I say it's indispensable.
Yes, and as one's consciousness expands, one's sense of values expands along with that. And this may, in turn, modify what one understands as common sense, because now you have to begin to include all of what you are experiencing, given this expansion of consciousness. As more and more is included, your consciousness becomes more inclusive. Then this changes or modifies what you understand as common sense, and it now includes spiritual principles and the laws and principles of the soul. So for a person on the path, or let's say a spiritual person, whatever that means, then the common sense has to take in a lot more. You have to include a lot more of the rules of the road become much more subtle. So it does include much more than the old rules of common sense.
Right. It includes them. It doesn't supersede them. In other words, you always need to evaluate whatever you are perceiving or experiencing, for example, in meditation or in your spiritual study. You always need to put it through the strainer, so to speak, of your common sense, using all of these senses that you have just described and making sure that it fits with the information that those senses give you, because that's all ultimately that we can rely upon, our own best judgment and our own internal lamp that is lit even when we think it isn't. The soul is light, and there is that internal light that illumines our way, and when we go against our common sense, we're denying that light. We're choosing to walk in the dark rather than staying within the light of our own judgment and intelligence. I think we have a lot more of that available to us than we might give ourselves credit for.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today is common sense and the spiritual path. There's a wonderful way to become acquainted with the philosophy, the spiritual philosophy of Lucis Trust, and to become familiar with the works of Alice Bailey, and that is to purchase the book that we have called Ponder on This. And it's more or less Ponder on This is a book that's more or less an overview of the entire philosophy of Lucis Trust. It's quite interesting, and it may also stimulate you to want to read more about Lucis Trust and the literature that is a constituent of the Lucis Trust organization. So by all means, you can order that book, Ponder on This. Give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. And also, if you'd like a general package of information, you might be wondering, well, what is Lucis Trust and who is Lucis Trust and so on. But if you'd like to know more about us, we'll be happy to send out a general package of information. You'll find a lot of material that gives you quite a comprehensive understanding of what Lucis Trust is all about. The most commonly asked question that we receive on phone calls is the one that says, is Lucis Trust, is it a religion? And no, we're not a religion. We're a spiritual philosophy organization, and people come from all walks of life and multiple numbers of religious backgrounds. And I guess we're all commonly focused on the improvement of mankind, which seems to be a common denominator amongst all people who are interested in joining our meditation meetings and coming to speak with us at various meetings or reading our literature even. So once again, if you'd like the general package of information or if you'd like to order the book Ponder on This, that's such a wonderful introduction and easy to read. It's a wonderful introduction to the philosophy, the esoteric and spiritual philosophy of Lucis Trust. You can certainly order it from us at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And I think if people spent as much time trying to unite mankind as mankind has spent in trying to divide the atom, we'd certainly have a lot of people who would be interested in Lucis Trust and on that spiritual path and enhancing it in every way that they can. What most interferes with the common sense?
I was thinking about that. I think it probably, more than anything else, is desire. Desire when we are powerfully driven by something that we desperately, urgently want makes us set aside our common sense, our past experience, and our best judgment because we just have to have it. What do you think?
Yeah. Yes, it's desire is the driving force too often, and we get this over-exuberant behavior, and we tend to waste a lot of energy without first understanding the cause and effect relationships of actions, and often we make wrong choices, let's say in meditation practices. You've mentioned that as kind of a danger to look out for, and that tends to interfere with common sense. Sometimes we just go into these meditation practices without really thinking what we're doing, all based on some desire for who knows what, development, or some psychic contact, or to channel some entity or whatever. But we end up getting into trouble, perhaps, and we waste a lot of time. And all of this is becomes part of this experience, I think. And until we've gone through these experiences, we may waste a lot of time. But
we are given some guidelines for how to avoid the kinds of things you mention. One is, and I think it's the most important, know yourself. Have a good self-awareness of what you're capable of and what your goals are. Another is proceed slowly and with a certain amount of caution. Study the effects that are being created by your choices. Are they what you want, or are they telling you that you're going in the wrong direction? Remember that eternity is a long time, and you don't have to achieve everything right now. Aim at regularity in your practice, because consistency and persistence are such safeguards that rhythmic endeavor can be so protective. Remember that everything that you seek to achieve spiritually has to be expressed in service to others. It can never be done for your own personal self-development, because that violates spiritual law. Your spiritual growth has to be done for the good of the world. And remember not to be too impressed by the weird and wonderful, which is what my name is for the strange psychic phenomena that so often engross people who are very new to the path. They love that sort of thing, channeling discarnate spirits and being able to do all kinds of things that are really not much more than magic tricks. and do not make the world a better place to live in.
Yes, and it goes right back to what you said earlier about desire and what one desires. If they're englamored by all of this phenomenal effects, then that's what they're going to chase after. And they don't really learn that perhaps until they've gone through a lot of painful experiences.
There are some wonderful expressions in the writings of Alice Bailey that pertain to the common sense. One is to sit lightly in the saddle. That really
that takes me back.
That pertains, I think, to all aspects of life, and it's some of us have a hard time with that one because we are given to too much intensity. But to sit lightly in the saddle. Another, above all else, keep your sense of humor, no matter what. Remember to laugh, and especially at yourself. Remember that you should try to make haste slowly in any change that you're trying to create within yourself. In other words, be patient. Be patient with yourself. God is. Why shouldn't you be? Why we're so hard on ourselves and so eager to transform ourselves once we decide we want to make a change. It has to come slowly because that's how nature progresses. It doesn't shoot up a plant overnight. Unless it's kudzu.
And we don't have to be, I guess, along that path, if we're going to be of service to humanity and to God, we don't necessarily have to be perfect at this particular point.
You know? We're needed as we are. It's come as you are, and with whatever you have in terms of resources, and everyone has certain resources, and everyone has a certain level of life on which they can serve. Because we can always serve and meet the need of those whom we understand best. Mm-hmm. You see, so we are all needed at whatever level of consciousness we might be.
And I would think also that it's common sense to for one to want to reach the highest potential of his own existence, and concomitant with that would be being on a spiritual path, acknowledging that we... the spirituality is certainly a very intricate part of our human lives. And why do otherwise sensible, intelligent people demonstrate such a lack of common sense sometimes in regard to spiritual living?
One reason might be that they're basically selfish in their orientation to their spiritual life. They're trying to achieve something for themselves. They're trying to accelerate their development rather than wanting to move into a deeper understanding of God's law. They're simply wanting liberation for their own personal satisfaction. Another might be that they're impatient, that they are too eager, that they're motivated by a kind of a greed or an avarice, which is one of the pitfalls of the spiritual path. It doesn't pertain just to stealing things, but to wanting to possess that which isn't really yours to claim yet. And that includes spiritual powers and spiritual understanding. If you haven't earned it, it's avarice to want to go after it.
Yeah, I think some people may have common sense in their everyday life, knowing how to behave and all of that and the circumstances, but yet they perhaps lack much experience when they're dealing with the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where they're lacking.
Turn their judgment over to someone else.
Yeah. I mean, common sense will tell you not to walk on the thruway,
mm-hmm.
because that's a good place to get killed, you know. But it may not have that much experience when it comes to the dangers of walking on the spiritual highway,
mm-hmm.
Especially when dealing with things like we've mentioned, like psychism and the phenomenon of the astral plane, or somebody holding out or enticing you to practice this method of meditation and you'll get lots of money, or you'll get an instant enlightenment, or go through this vast initiation. And you really get yourself in trouble, by following those paths. And so I think it's because so many sensible people, so to speak, lack the experience of really the realm we're moving into right now.
But don't you think that spiritual law protects us from realms of consciousness that we are not ready for? I think we are blinded in the way the baby kitten is blinded from seeing too much too soon. If that's true, then whatever stage of spiritual development is before us, we do have the experience that we need to move into that realm, and we do have this inner lamp that I mentioned. Even if we feel that we're a complete novice on the spiritual path, we have a long history behind us if we believe in the doctrine of rebirth. And that's why we always have to put whatever is being presented to us as spiritual truth to the test of our own logic and best sense of truth and fairness. Some standards would be, is it good for everyone? Is it selfish? Is it going to harm anyone? Any spiritual practice that would harm you or anyone, that should tell you right there. That should send off a warning signal. Stay away from it. And yet people will sometimes violate their best judgment because some spiritual teacher that they are impressed with says they should try this and such. Mm-hmm. Don't ever violate your own inner judge. And in fact, there's this wonderful statement in The Secret Doctrine which says this, that the Lord Buddha said we must not believe a thing merely because it's said, or because traditions have handed it down from antiquity, or because it's supposedly something in the writings of inspired philosophers. We should believe it when this doctrine or teaching or writing is corroborated by our own reason and consciousness. And he said, when we believe in that way, then we should act accordingly and abundantly.
If anybody would like that general package of information that will tell you more about Lucis Trust, about our organization, and there's so much in that that lets you know who we are and what we believe in and how to join us in meditation meetings or other meetings that we have, you can certainly give us a call, or you can call us to order that book, Ponder on This, that we mentioned before. Call us at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.